In too many instances, the book of Revelation brings about fear, but it doesn't have to. Let's open God's Word together with Dr. Wilton. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today, as we take our Bibles open to Revelation 21, we'll be talking about the Bible and heaven. As we open the Word, know that we're going to be available for you, not just now during the broadcast, but 24 hours a day, keyboard to keyboard, on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, or this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We really would love to talk and speak and pray with you. Now let's open God's Word to Revelation 21 with our teacher and pastor, Dr. Don Wilton.
Open your Bibles to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. You're going to need your Bibles today. Let me just say this before I read to you. I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject, the Bible and heaven. What does the Bible have to say about heaven? What does the Bible say? Last week, I preached a message entitled, What Would God Say to Us Today? And our phones have been ringing off the hook. It's always the operative question. A lot of people have opinions about heaven, don't they? And if we were to take a survey here in the United States, for that matter around the world, and say, tell us what you think about heaven, you're going to get every kind of opinion one can possibly imagine. Some don't believe it. They just don't believe it. They'll say, get a life. When you die, it's over. I'm glad I'm not in that category. You know, I'd say, let's see, I've got how many years left? You know, and then it's just blank. Some just don't believe it. Some sort of believe it. They say, well, you know, maybe, if, possibly. But I fall into the third category. Some absolutely believe it. Friends, we're living in a very rapidly changing and deteriorating world. One of the questions I'm getting frequently asked of me, and I know you're getting the same, is Jesus getting ready to come back? What a subject. I'm trying to resist the urge to speak to that subject. I'm going to say to you, it's looking very much more and more like the time is getting there. And I'm not just saying that, even though nobody knows that. But if you look at the signs of the times, think about marriage. You might say to me, who's more important, a mother or a father? I'm going to say both. You show me a family where the father is weak, and I will show you consequences that reverberate through the family. America today is weak. We are a weak, insipid nation. We are not prepared to lead. We call ourselves a superpower, but we certainly don't act like one. And what we export to the world is sending a message to the world. We export our brand of democracy. We're telling the world, fight with each other, kill one another, hate one another, watch pornography, demean everybody. And above all, what we're telling the world is get God out of everything you possibly can. And just look at our world. Just watch our world. Look what the world is doing. The world no longer is concerned or bothered by we, America. We've got a weak daddy in this world right now, but a weak father, and the family is falling apart. Look, you either lead or you don't. If you don't want to lead, get out of the leading business. If you don't want to be a father, don't get married. Just don't bring children into the world. Just live in your own environment. There's nothing wrong with that. So what we've got today is we've got a collapsing Europe, regardless of all the opinions related to things going on. Europe is becoming now an increasingly fertile ground for the rise of Antichrist. All Europe needs is a strong man, someone who will rise up and say, I'll fix you, follow me. They're all falling over each other. They're all holding each other accountable, but not willing to allow each other to become strong. So you've got a fertile seedbed. You've got collapsing markets, cash economy. You've got a ramp up of the anti-Israel movement, and the United States, to the best of our ability, sit here and say nothing and do nothing. In fact, the very opposite. We just simply put our arms around the adversaries of Israel and give them billions of dollars to rebuild their arsenals. So heaven becomes a very important subject. Just a couple of things. Now I'm going to say this, folks, this is a huge subject. Revelation 21, at the end of the Bible, is God's announcement concerning the final picture of heaven. This is what the Bible says in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. By the way, the word sea is the word for separation. What does the sea do? The sea separates us from England, right? If you want to go to England or Ireland, you have to get on a plane and fly over there. I'm not going to walk there. Final heaven, there's going to be no separation. Gravity will be gone. If you want to think about heaven in the final picture, think about God before the book of Genesis, the in the beginning God. Where was God before he created? He always is. Now, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around that, isn't it? I want to tell you about heaven today because I want you to give your life to Christ. Some of you are fixing to die. You have to know Jesus. All of us are going to die. You must know Christ. I saw the new heaven, new earth. The first heaven, first earth had passed away. Watch what happens here. And then I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven. Because right now heaven is up there. Heaven is up. We know that because Jesus went up. The disciples looked up. That's where heaven is. You've got to go through. You've got to defy gravity in order to get into heaven now. But at the end of the world, God says heaven is going to come down from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne, this is God speaking, saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. So heaven up there is going to come down. Headquarters are going to be in Jerusalem. And listen what God tells us. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Neither will there be mourning, crying, pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. They've died. So let me show you what the Bible tells us. This is what the Bible tells us. Just some very simple things. First of all, the Bible previews heaven. When you go into the Old Testament, there are quite a number of passages and illustrations where God previews heaven. For example, in 2 Kings chapter 2, and some of you who are very quick flippers of your Bible pages, 2 Kings chapter 2, the story of Elijah and Elisha, listen to what the Bible says. This is a preview. This is God telling us back in the beginning, before Jesus came, God is previewing heaven. The Bible does this. Listen, I'm just going to read one or two verses. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah, everybody ready? Up to heaven. Where did we say heaven is right now? Someone point there. Where's heaven? So if you've asked the question, where exactly is heaven right now, unequivocally, the Bible tells us where heaven is. It's up. The disciples, when Jesus came, rose from the dead, went to the Mount of Olives, the disciples didn't stand there and say, oops, where'd he go? They looked up. In fact, the angel of God came to comfort them and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing there looking up?" Same Jesus who went up is going to come back down. All right, so the Lord was about to take Elijah up into heaven by whirlwind. Elijah and Elijah were on their way to Gilgal. Go all the way to verse 11. Here's where it happens. And so, as they still went on and talked, behold, I love this, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And Elisha saw Elijah no more. What God is saying is that when someone dies, you don't see them anymore because they've gone into heaven. But when Jesus came, he told us something. I'm going to get to that. He said, "But I want to tell you, I'm going to show you how, in fact, you can see them again." How many here today, my hand's going to go up, how many of you have a loved one that's in heaven right now? Okay? You and I cannot see them physically, but we are going to be with them because that's why Jesus came and died on the cross for us, to make that possible. Because in Christ, we're made alive. We're going to see one another again.
Such encouragement. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, The Bible and Heaven, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you, we are here for you. Not just to deliver this message. It's not just your dropping off of goods on your front porch, ringing the bell and saying, "Hey, here you go." It's the idea of let's start this conversation together. And if there's something God stirred in your heart about this study in Revelation, then maybe a conversation with one of our team would be appropriate. You can give us a call right now at 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673, or meet us keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. Now, we won't have all the answers, but if we can't find them right there in the scripture where we have references to what Dr. Don's already said about it, then we'll dig that out, find Dr. Don later this week, and discover those answers with you. Most of all, we just would like to pray with and for you. Again, the phone number is 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
So the Bible, number one, previews heaven. The number two, the Bible populates heaven. All right, let's ask the question, who exactly is going to be in heaven with us? Now, this is a big subject because I hear people all the time pass comments about who exactly is in heaven. Well, the Bible tells us who exactly is going to be in heaven. So I've just isolated four categories, people, if you don't mind. First of all, God himself. Obviously, God is going to be there. I read that to you a minute ago, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. God himself, he said, "I myself will be with you." And this is for another day now. God is going to be God one in heaven, as he was in the beginning. God in the beginning, before he created the heaven and earth, was always God Father, God Son, God Holy Spirit. But we see him as one. He is one God. This is the Trinity. It's the mystery. It's the dynamic of the triune God. And then when we work through the Bible, Jesus comes down. So God the Son leaves God the Father, but is God and is born in Bethlehem. Then when Jesus dies, God raises him from the dead. He goes back up into heaven and he sends to this earth the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Then when Jesus comes in the clouds in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when he comes in the clouds to precipitate the tribulation period, God tells us that he will withdraw his spirit from the earth. So during the tribulation period, God, who is in heaven, he has never left heaven up there, is now rejoined by God the Son and God the Spirit at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, heaven opens and Jesus, the Son, comes back down to earth again. Lands on the Mount of Olives, Battle of Armageddon, the thousand-year reign, the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15. And when we get to the passage that we were reading just a minute ago, God comes down out of heaven and joins the Son and the Spirit to become one. That's the in the beginning God. This is the recreation. We're going back to the original creation of the world, the Garden of Eden, because now everything is perfect. So who is in heaven? God Himself. Number two, four living creatures. Well, just look at Revelation chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, just go there quickly. I've got to turn back there too. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, "And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal, and around the throne..." Got the picture here? This is the throne of God. "Around the throne," God tells us, "are four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind, the first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had the face of a man, and the fourth like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around within, and day and night they never cease to sing, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come.'" So who's going to be in heaven? I've just got to, in the interest of full disclosure here this morning, tell you the Bible talks about the four living creatures. Now, the four living creatures are spoken of three times in the Bible. First of all, Ezekiel speaks about them. Then Daniel speaks about four living creatures. And then the book of Revelation speaks about four living creatures. And this is a huge Bible study. The parallels, what is the context in which it is said? But here's the bottom line. If you were to ask me today, what do these four living creatures do? They worship. They celebrate God's holiness. They lead us in worship. They represent us, the four living creatures. So God's going to be in heaven. The four living creatures are going to be in heaven. You ready for the third one? 24 elders. 24 elders. Okay, stay in Revelation chapter 4 and go to verse 4. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4. Bible tells us about these people. "Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders clothed in white garments and with golden crowns on their heads." By the way, they're spoken of five times in the book of Revelation. So the 24 elders who are going to be with us, we might as well get to know them. I intend to go up to all of them and say, "Hey, I know all about you. They're going to be with us." The number of things I'm going to say to you in bullet fashion, they represent the church. When Jesus spoke to the church in Sardis, in Revelation chapter 3, He said, "I'm going to give you crowns and I'm going to clothe you in white garments." They represent the church. They reign with Christ. Did you note that they are seated on thrones? That's a sign of reign, of rulership. They serve as ministering spirits. The whole issue of serving in heaven is huge. They sent out for all who are saved and all who will inherit heaven and eternal life. They dressed in white. They wear crowns. They are symbols of the promise of God to all of us who have given our lives to Christ, that we can be assured that we are going to be in heaven. All right, here it is. Who's in heaven? God Himself, four living creatures, 24 elders. By the way, there's a lot more. If you go back into the Levitical law, there are tremendous parallels between the 24 elders and the Levitical law of the Jewish people in the Old Testament presentation. All right, so the third group of people that are part of our group in heaven are angels. So if you take, for example, where can I take? Go to chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5 and verse 11. I'm just picking on one of 100 passages, Revelation 5 and verse 11. Then I looked, remember now John's looking around heaven. Then I looked and I heard around the throne, here it is again, the four living creatures and the 24 elders and the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands upon thousands, all singing with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all of them that are in it singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessed and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. And that's when the Lamb of God begins to open up the seals that precipitate the three series of judgments that are going to take place, the seal judgments, followed by the trumpet judgments, followed by the bowl judgments, increasing in severity, and then heaven opens, accompanied by the chorus of these angels. What a choir that's going to be. The angels are going to be in heaven. That's a huge subject. And then, of course, the fourth group of people are us, all the redeemed people of the world. Chapter 7, we could go on. Look at chapter 7 and verse 9. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, singing and saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels and the elders and the four living creatures, they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and forever and forever and forever.'" Woo! Isn't that something? That's like winning the national championship. About heaven. I'm only halfway through my message and I got to stop. Kills me. There's so much here. What does the Bible say? If I may say something very loving, very respectful to whomever is living, listening right now, beginning with me. Does it really matter what I think? Can you hear the question? You know, all these opinions. It's the Bible says heaven is real. And it's the bottom line, you know. I want us to really be a people who fix our eyes on the Lord. Listen, my friend, you know, you may be going through dark waters today. You may be ministering to someone who's very, very ill. You may be battling in your marriage. Maybe facing a divorce. You may be really struggling with a son or a daughter. You may be dealing with addictions. You know, when you study about heaven, I don't know what it, for me, when I study heaven, I think about heaven and I believe what God says in His Word, it puts a like the right balance back in my life. I keep coming back to where it really matters. Doesn't declare life and the things that we have to do and the issues that we have to deal with. Over the next couple of weeks in America, we're going to have Republican convention, Democratic convention. We're going to listen. We're going to celebrate. We're going to mourn. We're going to opinionate. We're all committed and we're all engaged and we all have, but keep your focus. If you lose your focus, you're going to become no better than the chaos that you talk about. Keep yourself out of the chaos. And the way you do that is trust the Lord, love one another, be kind to one another, serve, give, go out of your way, and keep your focus. Don't become discombobulated. The question is, have you given your life to Christ? Do you know Him?
It really does all come down to that. How do we keep ourselves out of the chaos? How do we move out of this discombobulation of confusion? We come with clarity to God's Word. I pray right now you've been listening to Dr. Don from the pulpit preaching, but in these moments, he's just going to open his heart here in the studio, and I pray you'd open your heart to what he has to say.
Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that He died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give Him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ.
I don't know what God's speaking to you about, but I know that He has compelled us to say, if God stirred your heart to respond to that prayer with Dr. Don, or maybe there's something else that God stirred through the power of His Word and Don's teaching earlier today, we want to talk with you and pray with you about it. You can do that keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. You can hear today's message again, share it with a friend, discover other resources that will help you grow in your faith. There's also a phone number there that I want to share with you, 866-899-WORD. The digits are 866-899-9673, and it'll connect you with one of us, happy to talk, or listen, or pray. Anytime, day or night. As a matter of fact, right now, I pray that you would open your heart to this unique concept of where we maybe are encouraging you of how you might can encourage us by becoming an encourager.
We are in a critical time in our nation. Religious freedom in America is under an ever-increasing attack like never before. We cannot close our eyes and ears to what is going on in our world. Did you know that one person can make all the difference in the world for someone who is channel surfing, unknowingly looking for truth? You can be that one person by becoming an Encourager ministry partner. We all have unsaved friends, loved ones, and people we don't even know all around us that need to hear the gospel. Together, we can do much to impact the world for Jesus Christ. Make a commitment to help spread the gospel in 2020. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request an Encourager brochure today. We would love to have you partner with us. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
The phone number again is 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. And we'd love for you to become an encourager of the ministry. But more than that, we'd love for you to know that we're focused on bringing God's Word to the forefront so that God's Word will do the work. And if you want to partner in that, wonderful. But if not, maybe you just need someone to pray with you and for you. Call us, 866-899-9673. Or if you'd like to go keyboard to keyboard, let's meet online at tewonline.org.